joining us. I really appreciate it. Susie and I first met in 2019. We were both at eBay Open. Wait a second. Doug, weren't you there?
Yes, I was there. I don't know if you ladies know, but I used to work for eBay.
And I'm shocked by this, Doug. This is new information.
I did three eBay Opens. I knew I had met Susie Eads, but we bumped into each other at Poshfest, believe it or not. And then we basically said, this isn't like an eBay thing. And we ensconced ourselves at the end of a long hallway, and we talked about our shared love of bras and women's swimsuits.
It's a good thing to love, man.
I learned that Susie sells like Victorian. So is it like Gothic Hour? Is it like we're listening to The Cure? Is it like Angel Ezreal, welcome to Goth Hour with Susie Eads?
I do have some Victorian stuff. I have two IDs.
All right. But real quick, for those couple people that don't know you, tell us who you are, what you sell, and where you sell.
So I'm Susie Eads. I live in Kansas, and I have two IDs. One is Victorian Trading, where I don't really sell old stuff. I sell stuff that could be Victorian, but is new. And on my other ID is Big Daddy's Money, and I sell a little bit of everything there, but I mostly have brand new bras and swimsuits.
Because you and I are friends, I know that you've been doing this, I believe, 26, 28 years?
26 years.
Okay, so 26 years. But I don't think I know how you first started. I know how Big Daddy's Money, like the moniker, came about. But I don't know, like, what made you start reselling?
I met my husband, and he had 40 acres. And we had a little house. We still have it here on the property. And that's what we lived in. And I wanted a big house, bigger house. And he said we couldn't build it until we paid off the land. And I started selling stuff on eBay to pay off the land.
Okay, but what I'm wondering is, what made you try eBay?
I was the PTA president at my oldest daughter's school. And people were talking about they bought this on eBay, they bought that on eBay. And you won't believe this, but we didn't have internet where we lived because we live out in the middle of nowhere. The day we got internet, which, by the way, I had to call in to a place in another town that wasn't long distance to call into AOL.
Did you survive?
I don't know. So anyway, that's how I got internet. And the very first place I went on the internet was eBay.
Okay.
Nice. And I just started selling stuff. I like a good deal.
Who the hell doesn't, Susie?
But I went to auctions all the time just because they're everywhere, and it's almost auction season now, where people just have auctions and you go to their house and look at their crap and somebody auctions it off. I would buy stuff.
Is that a Midwest thing? Because we don't have that here.
We have an auction house that's every Monday. Every Monday night they have an auction, and Ron Stricker, shout out to Ron Stricker. I love the man. Anyway, I have a seat on the front row, and I used to go every Monday. And the stuff would just go by you, and you would bid on it or not bid on it.
We have those. I've just never heard the ones about you go to someone's house.
Yeah, it's like a farm auction. They call it a farm auction, but they could be selling farm equipment, or they could be selling giant crocks of stuff, whatever. Yeah. But usually they're just trying to downsize or whatever.
Huh.
I think it's a Midwest thing.
Do they do the
Yes.
Interesting. All right. So with two successful reselling businesses, very different, one obviously goth vampire stuff and one pimp stuff, what do you believe are the key factors that have contributed to your success?
Consistency. Consistency in everything you do. Consistency is the key to always list stuff, always be looking for stuff, always... It's just consistency. Answering emails multiple times a day, that kind of stuff.
So two businesses, but the same processes, obviously.
You told us what you sold. One is Victorian items. One is bras and swimsuit. So tell us, how do you identify products that you think will be profitable for reselling? especially, I guess, in Victorian trading? Are there specific trends you look for, criteria you look for? And don't get me wrong, it could be in the bra business too. I'm just assuming most women need a bra. That's just what I'm assuming.
Some men.
Yeah. Ooh. Some men.
That's a bro as a Seinfeld reference.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the man's ear. So remember when we were sitting at Poshmark in San Diego and I go at Poshfest and I go, look, that would be a Victorian thing. Look, that would. So I do that, but I also watch a lot of period TV. Right now I'm watching Elizabeth something on HBO, but I like the Gilded Age. I just watch certain things and I always look at the background. For instance, even when before I started with this Victorian stuff, I would watch TV and I hardly ever watch the people. I always look at what's going on behind them. And I was watching The Sopranos and I went, that I have that set of dishes downstairs. And so I listed it as Tony Soprano's mom's dishes.
Oh, that's funny.
That was the same pattern. And so they sold for a lot more money. But I'm always looking to see if you see a rerun of Laverne and Shirley. The pictures in the background, stuff like that.
I'm surprised you didn't get a Vero from the Mafia.
You're right.
But I just saw my dishes that I use every day, which are the dishes my mother left in this house that I bought from her when she left. So these are the same dishes that I had as a kid. And instead of, I don't know why, I didn't use my own dishes. I left them packed up because those were already in the cabinet. I just started using them. And I saw them on Young Sheldon. Mm-hmm. And like, I stopped you would have thought it was somebody I knew. I'm like, my dishes, that dishes. I mean,
do they have grapes on them?
No, they're like flowers all around the end.
Corel?
They're not Corel.
I bet they're Metlocks.
Okay, I'll look later. It was funny. My husband is looking at me like, you are nuts, because I was so excited about these dishes.
I thought when you said you watch the shows, you identify cup sizes, because one of the first you said to me was C cup.
No, like, but sometimes I go, that lady needs a bra.
Oh, yeah. I do that all the time.
Just like, let me give you a bra that fits you better.
Exactly. And you'll look better. Your posture will be better. Your figure will be better. Some women need a bra, man, in the worst way.
So you've been doing this quite a bit, nearly actually 3 decades. How has the reselling industry changed over the last 3 decades?
The biggest change for me was September 11th, because people's priorities changed, like what they bought, what they wanted. It was no longer important to get your grandma's china. And so that was a thing. And I switched up. I stopped selling stuff. I stopped going to these auctions where I could get your grandma's china or the Sopranos china. I would get other stuff. And that was one. And then, of course, the pandemic was crazy, but I always have an incredible amount of backstock or the ability to contact people. I have people's home cell phone numbers to contact them about, hey, do you want to sell this? Do you want to get rid of it? So those are some changes. When eBay decided to go, they really wanted everybody to have free shipping. When that was important. Also, it's hard to ship out a set of 48 dishes in 24 hours when you have other stuff to do. That's important too. And that was a change. You just adapt with the times.
How do you manage inventory across the two businesses? Especially because it's such a different range of product, right? I'm assuming you and I've spoken, Susie's in Mastermind most mornings. So you and I've spoken about your like inventory system for the bras. They're like on a rack and they're hung like in these bags, right?
Right.
So for me, that I can see like in my head, like I can understand how that works. How do you store like the Victorian things that are like from A to Z? And do you keep them separate?
Yes, I keep everything separate. Most of the bras are in my basement. I didn't say this when we got the money to build our house. Ripley's, believe it or not, did a thing on me that says I'm in the house that eBay built, which is true. So I'm in Ripley's, believe it or not, for having the house eBay built. The funny thing is some kid came up to me at Girl Scouts and said, did you know you're in Ripley's, believe it or not? And I went, oh Lord, what am I in her? What? And they couldn't, because it was a little kid, they couldn't tell me what it was I was in there for. And so I'm like, tell my husband, you have to go to the bookstore. You have to go find this. What if it was something really bad? The woman that makes her kids work without paying them or something.
Okay. Susie gets arrested. What happened? There was a story in Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Right.
Believe it or not.
So I do keep my inventory separate. Most of my bras are in the basement. I did build a 40 by 60 building on my property that has most of the Victorian trading stuff in it, almost all, 99% of it. And it's stored on shelves in a filing cabinet. In filing cabinets, I have it filed by number in filing cabinets. And I also have some print shelves where my stuff, because I sell a lot of prints. And then my swimsuits are out there. So I do keep everything separate.
Do you plan on getting the bras out of the basement and putting them out there? Or is that just always been the plan?
Big Daddy says that's what's going to happen, but I'm not exactly sure. Yeah. We're kind of at an impasse on that.
Okay. I was just wondering.
I mean,
we think we know who's going to win.
I know. Doug and I do think we know who's going to win.
The man goes, let's do this. I'm like, but most of the time he has really good ideas.
So then sometimes you take them. Sometimes you don't, like moving the bra.
There's a chance. What advice do you have for newcomers in the reselling industry who aspire to achieve long-term success like you?
You can't give up every time somebody tells you that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. My mom, who is mostly 95% of the time a positive person, went, yeah, that's not going to last.
So then you got to prove her wrong, Susie. Well, that is right. My dream.
Right. So So that was like within the first 6 months or a year of me doing it. But I have 7 kids. Most of them are adults. It allowed me to stay home with my children and have what I wanted. That's the other thing. My husband has a perfectly wonderful job, but we wouldn't have had what we had if I hadn't done what I did, if that makes sense.
No kidding. You got 7 kids, Mom. I mean, let's be serious here. Right? You have 7 children. No wonder you had to work.
I mean, I worked just to pay for dance.
But seriously, as someone who is a parent, we're both parents. So how do you balance running that? I know a lot of them are older, but I know you still have a son at home and I know you homeschool him. I love the way she left out the homeschooling part.
She homeschooled all of them.
She homeschooled all of these children. I just can't. I literally, I'm not being funny. I literally cannot comprehend having 7 children. And then above that, homeschooling them. I can't even, there's no world where there was happening a trip.
So when I started homeschooling Rachel, she was in school. I was a PTA president. She became diabetic and they didn't know how to take care of her. And yeah. I was just like, I can't worry about this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah. And we just had so many problems with that when she first became diabetic that we thought we were going to keep her out for a year.
Yeah.
And we just ended up doing it. And it was not a plan of mine. It was not something I thought I was going to do. But yeah, so the second oldest, who's 27 now, was homeschooled his whole life. And so the rest of them, Rachel from 7th grade on. But it wasn't something I planned on doing. And I just integrated my business into it, if that makes sense. And they all had to work. Every single one of them has to work the business. And matter of fact, the youngest one was doing school. And I said, go over and help your sister find these swimsuits. And so he's over in the barn helping her find the swimsuits.
Do you think there's an impact that this journey working with you, seeing you be such an entrepreneur, balancing all these things, not seeing you sleep? Do you think it's had an influence on their education and life perspective? I think your son's a little hustler.
Zach is a hustler. He says everything falls under Easy Enterprises. He's Emerson Zachary, so his initials are EZE. So my oldest daughter has her own little business, but she works for mine. And my oldest son, he has his own business and he's 27. My second oldest daughter had a dance studio that we started when she was 14. And we just did it in a small little town. And then she did it until the pandemic. And then she had to switch it up. And she's still doing dance. And she has her own marketing business. And then my third oldest daughter has her own business. And my 21-year-old has a little side hustle. And he works for the state. And my 18-year-old is always hustling. He's trying to get his uncle to help him start a business too. And then Zach, he sells on eBay. And he has suns out, glasses out. Yeah, I think that by seeing me, what I did, they all learned to do it. And I met someone at Boss whose kids helped them. And I said, look, it gives them, some people may groan or be upset about it, but this is how, it's like the chain of life. This is how you get this money. You can buy this food. You can buy the junk you want. Zach goes with me on buying trips and he carries everything and he does all this stuff. And people are like, oh, he's so good. And Zach's like, yeah, this is steak, baby. My niece went with me and she goes, what are you doing? We're in Marshalls. And she goes, what are you doing? And I go, I'm buying stuff to resell, but we can't tell anybody. And I said, so if you see something you like, you go, do you think Grandma Thalia would like this? And so she walks around. She goes, you think Grandma like this? And she just holds up. Yes, I've taught them all.
And that reminds me too. Trish said she couldn't have seven kids. I couldn't have seven kids either because, first of all, they'd all have to wear name tags. I'd be like, which one are you? And I don't know how you keep track of them all. Thank God your names are here on the screen because I barely know your names. Can you discuss a significant setback you faced in your career and how it shaped your approach to your business?
There's multiple, but I think the one that freaked me out the most, and I see a lot of people that say, I can't sell this. I can't find this. I can't do this. Well, you just have to adapt. You just have to find the thing that's plentiful wherever you are. Yeah. I used to go to this place that had they had a big sale a couple of times a year. And the first time I went with this friend of mine and I'm in this warehouse sale going, huh, I wonder if I could sell this crap on eBay. And then I come across this kind of luxury goods item and I call my husband and I go, you need to get the car up here because I'm not going to be able to fit this stuff in her car. So bring up the burb and let's put the stuff in there. And I told the lady, I go, if I buy your whole table, do I get a discount? And she went, no. I go, okay, no problem. So I just bought all of it. And I thought it was a risk. And so, I don't know, I probably spent $1,500 there. By the time 6 or 7 years goes by and this becomes 80% of my income, this place. Oh, and wow. I had two girls in dance and they took 5 dance classes each. You can add that up. And all of this crazy stuff. And I get a letter from this company that says, you can no longer sell our stuff on eBay. You have 6 months to get it off. You have upset Neiman Marcus.
It's the best line ever. You have upset Neiman Marcus.
I heard Neiman's very difficult, by the way.
And I'm like, I upset Neiman Marcus? This chubby girl that lives in Kansas that has all this crap in her basement upset Neiman Marcus? Pinkies up, baby. So I go, okay. So I call the owner of the company who I had a cell phone because my oldest son went in with his business and fixed a bunch of router stuff for him. And he goes, no, that can't be right. They wouldn't do that. That can't be right. And I was like, they sent me this letter. And he goes, give me 3 days. I'm going to go to the lake. Let's figure it out. In the meantime, I had been making friends with this other place about buying their bras that they didn't want. This company that has about 8 different stores. And I just called them and I went and bought probably, I don't know, 3,000 bras in that 3 days for them to get back to me about, he goes, you can sell that stuff. You don't worry about it. But I was like, look, if you don't want me, you don't want me. And so I would spend $15,000 at their sale because that was what I would sell until their next sale. So I switched and it was really hard for me. But I was like, you can't sit here and cry about it. You got to do something. Go do something different.
explain to me what made you choose bras, even though I think it's a great product and I understand why, but did you just think we all have boobs? Like, what was the, what made you think?
No, I chose them. And I'll tell you, they're not, they are a great product, but they're not easy. And you're one size in one bra and another size in another. And so I chose bras because eBay really wanted free shipping. And here, this product I was selling was Gracious Goods or the GG collection, which if you ever watch like the Real Housewives of anything, you can see this metal and glassware fancy stuff in the background of their, they all have it. And mm-hmm. I sold a bunch of stuff to Kim Zolciak Bierman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's one of my claim to fame, whatever. Anyway, her assistant called me and goes, do you have this? Do you have this? I'm like, no. She had a Southern accent, actually. Oh. So she talked a little like this. But anyway, so we, I just switched. But bras was because eBay really likes free shipping and it moves you up in search. And that's where I wanted to be, is up in search. So bras are easy to ship.
Interesting. So I have a question. So Trish, are bras a replenishable product?
I think so. They're a long-term replenishable. What do you think?
Yeah. Susie? And some people want every color and they want, some people are different. I don't much care. Just put it on me and let's go. But yeah, some people are very picky about it.
I am very picky about bras, like very picky. I only wear the same company and mostly the exact same style because it works for me. And it's very difficult when you're not a smaller person be able to find a bra that fits you well. And Susie's right. They're not an easy thing to like fit. One, a Playtex is going to be different than this. It's going to be different from a Goddess. Finding the one that fits you. So it's definitely replenishable for me because, and it's even more a niche because I'll go and get the exact same one, if you know what I'm saying. So I think it is, Doug.
Thank you. I support a good bra.
Me too. So what are some of the most effective investments you've made in terms of business growth? I think buying the 3,000 bras was probably a good investment.
Yeah, it was. It was a good investment. And I had bought bras here and there just to see what some of the drawbacks were. Because selling breakables, you always know they might break.
Right.
So you learn to sell those, to ship them in the right way. Yep. Bras, you learn that people don't know their size. Yep. Swimsuits, people don't know their size. And so having free returns is really important in the field I'm in.
Right.
A lot of sellers, I don't really think they're my competition, mostly because you don't have the same size. You don't have the same color. It's not the same whatever. So it's not really competition, but a lot of people don't realize that everybody might want a white plate, but not everybody can fit in a 38C.
And so financially, you've made the decision that you need to have free returns in this niche.
In this niche. So I accidentally came into this Victorian thing. It was a complete accident. This company called me up and said, would you come show us how to put our stuff on eBay? Which has happened multiple times. I go, sure. So I go up to the place. I show them how to put stuff on eBay. Show them how to keep track of it. And then I go home. And they pay me and life is good. This place could not figure out how to do it. They're a mail order catalog. They were online. These people know how to ship stuff, but not the way that you do it for eBay or Amazon. And so I was a consultant and I was there 7 years and they internally had a lot of problems. So for instance, in the 7 years I was there, we had 9 CEOs. Mm-hmm. So that'll tell you the problems that they had. The company's no longer in business. I was asked if I wanted to buy any of it. And I was like, yeah, maybe. And I had from December 15th to December 30th to get the crap out of the building. And so the Eads boys and their sisters, and most importantly, my husband, who never wants to move that crap again, had to move it. And we had to get a storage unit. And I hadn't had a storage unit my entire life. And we ended up with 5 of the biggest storage units and put all that stuff in it. And now I have this barn with the stuff in it. But it was an experience. And that probably was one of the better things I do. But I try to make, when I look back, you want the bad, the things that you think were bad or stupid or weird or whatever, to become a learning experience that taught you something. And it's taught me something. I would love to be this flowery Victorian person, but I'm not. I'm the kind of person that I think you would want to sit and eat lunch with or eat dinner with, and we would laugh and talk and have a good time. Mm-hmm. But I'm not the kind of person that, yeah, that is so flowy and flowery and everything has a, I don't walk outside and go, the flowers today have a special aroma that made me take me back to when I was in France.
And the thing about it is that this niche she's in, Doug, this is how the people sell. Like they're very, this is like the persona they do.
Okay.
So it's an interesting, and I suppose this could be true for any niche, right? This, we're just happening to be talking about Victorian stuff or Victorian, because it's not antiques. People who think they live in that kind of,
Or they're Jane Eyre. Or Jane Austen. Exactly.
Or Jane Austen, but they also, I suppose this could happen in any niche. Maybe in cosplay, this kind of stuff happens where you, to able to sell, you need to be one of them, for lack of a better word.
So I could be like, my puffy pirate shirt is ripped.
Exactly.
They would love that.
I talked to a guy the other day at a meetup. He's a Disney seller. He sells like very niche Disney stuff. And one of his big sellers are the pamphlets that people just throw away, and they're very collectible, and he adds a story to it. And then my mythological best friend forever from junior high, Philip, is an antique seller, and he's always told stories. And it's, in a lot of ways, these niches are against the conventional wisdom of eBay, but for the niches, it works. Because they're looking for that type of thing. A lifestyle, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. I think that's true, but you are completely right about it is exactly against the traditional advice of eBay. And that's what I think is important. I don't know if we as the reselling community do enough to understand that some niches are their own little like subculture. Yeah. And if you want to do well in it, you have to form to what they are looking for. And I do think I don't know about rockabilly. There's a ton of them. A ton of them. And I don't know, some of them probably less so than others.
And I bet Susie has a ton of repeat customers.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Oh. I do. So I did this for Victorian Trading since 2016 or 17. And they wanted to know me. Like when they would send me a message on eBay and I was doing this for the company, they wanted to know who I am. And they would go on LinkedIn. They would take Susie and Victorian Trading and go on LinkedIn. And yeah, and they wanted to know if I wore Victorian stuff to work. They asked me all kinds of personal questions. And I even think you talked about it. You said something to me about it, about on Reddit. I went and read. These people put stuff that I told them on Reddit.
I looked up Victorian Trading on Reddit because Susie offhandedly said something about Reddit. And I was like, oh, I've never even, to be quite honest with you, I've been on Reddit probably 10 times in my whole life. So when I went in, I searched different things. And so I was like, oh, I should look Victorian Trading. And I did. And then I'm reading threads and then someone wrote, and it was like in 2019, somebody wrote, this lovely woman in Kansas named Susie bought Victorian Trading, blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
I know that girl.
It's interesting too. You brought up rockabilly. So in the 90s, I was into the rockabilly scene, but more so for the music and stuff. And then I dressed that way and I went to school and worked as a janitor. So I pretty much dressed that way all the time. But I had friends, I developed friends in that scene, and they literally, you would go to their house and they would have a refrigerator from the 50s, a table from the 50s, all the decor that they really get into. They really get into the lifestyle.
These people want their seafood forks and all of the stuff from that people that used in the Victorian era. They want to have that elegance and they dress for dinner.
Yeah.
And they really do wear a hat out to walk in their garden like they were Jane Austen. And I am amazed by those people, because you said, oh, you have seven kids, you homeschool. I have seven kids and I homeschool and I have this eBay business. I have this online business. I really can't do that all the time. I have to have a refrigerator that is bigger than one from the 1950s.
Well, who do that? The MCM kind of mid-century modern.
Oh, and so I have to do something a little different.
Yeah, it's very interesting in those niches and selling. I would imagine most of what you sell, is it repro or is there original stuff or what's the division? So
I design some of the stuff. Like if I have somebody that I know that does jewelry, I'll say, hey, do you do this? And can you make this or some clothing or something like that? And then I have it made. Some of the stuff I just find looking. Some stuff I found on eBay and I send it off to have something similar made. So some of it's reproduction, but I always try to put the Victorian spin on it. But that makes sense.
Yeah. And when we were at Posh Fest this last time, Susie and I, like we were walking around and she was like, that skirt would sell, that top would sell. And they were modern pieces. These weren't, it's just a certain feel and a certain look. And I don't think at the moment anyways that I would be like, oh, that would sell. But Susie has the eye and can pick it out and knows what people are looking for. So it's an interesting thing because it's definitely a mix of, it's just a look.
You could think now people that do goth and that could be part of it. Yeah. Also people who like fairies and angels and mystical kind of things. People that like mermaids. All of those things fall in that. And tea. Oh, my good gravy tea.
Making tea and drinking it?
Yeah. Okay. And I have a special blend of tea just for Victorian trading that I haven't put out yet. I'm waiting for my little containers to come. And then we're going to do that.
Speaking of tea, when we were at Posh Fest, I had some tea and Susie leaned over it. She had a ring and she put something in it. Here, this will help. And I said, what are you doing? And she goes, it's a Victorian poison ring.
We sell a lot of those. We sell a lot. And I'm always looking for a more updated poison ring.
Good to know.
But I'm always worried I'm going to get sued that, or I'll be watching a murder mystery and it'll be like, exactly. She bought this from Victorian Trading.
And that's when things went terribly bad for Susie.
Let me ask you, what strategies have you found most effective for scaling up? This is something that we talk about a lot, but I'm just wondering what you think people can do to scale up.
I really think you need to consistently do the same amount of listings a day. Back when I was in the little house, I wrote up 10 items a day. So I had no choice. I had to write up 10 items a day. And this was way before List Perfectly. And I did not want to spend $100 for a listing program. My husband said, just buy the program, because then I could write this stuff up and have it all ready to go and have what Trish likes to call a bank. So I didn't have to be home every day to list the stuff. So the very most important thing, of course, it's your product. Of course, it's the price you buy it at. But to get yourself to selling more and at a bigger level, I think you have to list the same amount, whatever that amount is for you, a day. And I think you also need to answer your emails. You need to do everything and do it in a professional way, no matter what people have to say.
Anything to add before we go?
She's like, lots of things.
Because I've got a couple of things I'm going to throw in before you.
Okay, know. I'm ready. Hit me.
All right, so we haven't even talked about Susie Eads, the eBay Queen, asktheebayqueen.com.
And I used to write a newspaper column that went out that was Ask the eBay Queen. We talked about this in Mastermind. My father-in-law gave me that name.
Yeah.
He told me you're the eBay Queen. And I was like, okay. So my license plate says eBay Queen. And I got special permission from eBay to do that blog. And wow. I used to do it all the time. And then I don't know what happened to me.
But I'll tell you, you own two businesses and you have seven children.
Yeah, so exactly.
I still had all of that. I still did that then. And I would like to redo that, but I'm trying to get my youngest kid to get out of his Linux phase and get into update your mom's website phase.
Maybe you need a podcast. Who knows?
I don't know that. Would anybody listen to me? I'm not sure.
I think so. You're hilarious.
I agree. You're funny.
We know the eBay queen. We know the eBay girl. We know Kings of eBay. Have you met Kings of eBay? But I think you've earned the eBay queen title.
I don't know. I really did enjoy writing those articles because people would just say, what do I do about this? What do I do about this? And I'm like, I don't know. And it's surprising how the questions people ask and how in depth they go.
Susie's hilarious. We've known her a long time and we tell stories, but I love her stories that start with, let me tell you this. Da, 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 da. And then and so I called them and then it goes from there.
It's true, Susie. You are amusing as anything. What cracks me up about Susie is I think I have about 10 pictures of her in my phone crying from laughing. Like literally 10 different photos from different places where she is. And then she's like, it looks like I'm mean to her because when you look at the photos, she all looks like she's crying and trying to keep her makeup on. Wicked funny.
True story.
Yeah. True story. Thank you, Miss Susie.
No problem. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. It was fun.
It was fun.
Thank you. It's always a joy speaking with you, and I'm sure we will do it again.
Excellent.
The Seller Community Podcast is sponsored by List Perfectly and Listing Party. For more information, go to listperfectly.com and listingparty.com.
Thank you for joining us on the Seller Community Podcast from List Perfectly. Leave a message or ask a question at anchor.fm/sellercommunitypodcast. You can email us at podcast@listperfectly.com. You can post a question for us in the List Perfectly Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/listperfectly. Listen to the Seller Community Podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts and be sure to subscribe. Tell your friends. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave us a review. You can always use our promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST for 30% off your first month of List Perfectly or 30% off your first month of upgrading your plan. Thanks for listening.